All right, are you ready? Get ready to expand your musical horizon. On this episode of The Greatest Song You Never Heard, we will keep a straight face.
Get ready to expand.
Get ready. We are going to keep a straight face while we dive into a rare find that will blow your mind, Chris. From the archives of music history, we're unearthing a track that deserves a spotlight. I'm your host, or at least one of them, Phil Anderson, with me, who couldn't keep a straight face, Chris Cochran.
Chris Expanding Cochran. That's my name.
We have Expand, Blow, and now Chris Cochran.
Yikes.
So there we go. Yikes. This almost an explicit tag on this one. Who said we're professionals here? Chris, come on. Bring us out of this hole.
I tried. Hello, Mr. Anderson. How are you today? I hope you're doing well.
I was doing a lot better about 30 seconds ago.
Can I share another podcast that I've been listening to that I think that you would enjoy?
If you must, you must.
I don't know that any of our listeners would enjoy this, but I know that you would. It's called A History of Rock Music in 500 Songs from a gentleman by the name of Andrew. Gosh, what's his last name? Anyway, if you just look up 500songs.com, you'll find it. And what's fascinating is this gentleman who's from England basically went through and figured out what the history of all rock music is from today backwards, and then created a 500 song podcast. He's still in the midst of recording to document each one of those songs. So he starts out in the 1920s and he talks about the history of jazz and blues and R&B, and even gets back to one of the songs he talks about was from like 1870 or something along those lines. It's the most fascinating podcast you've ever listened to. I highly, highly, highly recommend it.
So for those who are listening to The Greatest Song You Never Heard podcast, one could make the claim that they are looking to expand. See what I did there?
I do.
As far as music goes, and blow their mind.
Yes.
And from a suggestion from Chris Cochran, from Coach Cock.
I've been listening to it incessantly. Like I'll listen to at least... they're about 25 minute episodes. I've been listening to it almost every day. It's so good.
That's kind of a sweet spot, isn't it? That 20 minute.
Yep.
Of course, Wine Time Fridays goes way over that because Shelley's a soft speaker and I just ramble on. But we have done a pretty good job on this podcast of keeping it under 20. So I like that.
Yep. Yeah, we try real hard. And the average commute in America, I don't know if it's still this case, but in the early 2000s was 22 minutes. So I always try to keep my podcasts in the early days 22 minutes for that reason.
Unless you live in Southern California, which the average commute time is 2 hours and 18 minutes.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Yikes.
So there you go. Yep. Oh, and if you're on Highway 95 here in Coeur d'Alene, it's not much prettier.
That is true. That is very true.
Chris, you brought a song to us today.
I did, and I am super excited about this song.
Which is unusual, because usually you're not super excited.
Usually I'm just like, this is a crappy song, and I can't wait for Phil to endure it. So I want to put a big giant asterisk at the beginning. So now we've had Expand, Below, and Asterisk.
And Coach Cock. And now we have Asterisk. I want to put
a big giant asterisk at the beginning of this song, because... there's a real chance that you will know this song once it starts playing.
Oh, I like
that. Very good chance, actually. However, there's way more to it than that. And when I tell you how I re-stumbled across this song, you're going to laugh really hard. But with that, I think we should just roll right into it. I'm going to send you some lyrics right now.
You send me the lyrics. While you're sending me the lyrics, I have to tell you two pet peeves I have in the English language.
Okay.
One is the word height. People will say height. It's height.
Oh, no, yuck.
It's height. The other is the word asterisk. People say the word asterisk.
Mm-mm. Yes, correct. Asterisk. You are right on both accounts, Phil.
And that's all I needed to hear. Let's dive into today's song. somebody had a whole lot of fun with a synthesizer and special effects.
That's true. That's very true.
Okay. Now, I feel like I have a fairly good hold on this song. The name of the song is Either Cry or Don't Cry.
It's Cry.
George Michael, sometime, or Wham, sometime in the 80s is where I'm going with that. And that's too obvious. I know I'm probably wrong.
It is not George Michael. It is in the 80s, but it is not George Michael. And it is called Cry. Let me give you a little bit of background first. This song actually was released in 1985 and went to number 16 on the Billboard Top 100. To number really? 16. And part of the reason I wanted to play this song on one of the greatest songs you never heard is, how can a song go to number 16 in the Billboard Top 100 and yet no one knows it? Every time I play this song for someone, they're like, I've never heard this song before. And it's I remember it from back in the day from listening to my radio incessantly. However, it did go to number 16 and then faded into obscurity and no one ever heard it before. The gentlemen who make up this band are a gentleman by the name of Kevin Godley and Lowell Cream. That ring a bell to you?
Not yet.
The name of the band is, this is super creative, Godley and Cream. Godley and Cream are former members of another band. Would you play just a clip, just a few seconds from the second song that I've given you for today, Phil?
Here we go. I'm not in love.
Well, funny about this song, by the way. This song is autobiographical. Cry is not autobiographical. It's just a made-up story. It's just a silly face. I'm going. Such a terrible song. Okay, you can fade that out. Anyway, they were members of 10cc, and they did four albums as members of 10cc.
We're just going to let that play in the background.
Delete it because I got to be able to post-production it. Oh, you're going to post-production this one, so you can let it play in the background. It's fine.
Oh, yeah, maybe you're right.
Funny how that works.
Yeah,
So Godley and Cream were members of 10cc. They did four albums with them. And after their fourth album, they started working on two different projects. One of them was an electronic item called The Gizmo, which we'll talk about in a second. And the other one was a bunch of songs that they wanted to bring to 10cc, but it didn't fit any of 10cc's genre, and it didn't fit the band at all. So rather than what we would do today, which is your bandmates come to you and go, hey, I got this idea. These songs don't really fit who we are, but blah, blah, blah. We would be like, cool, go do a solo album, then come back and we'll get back together. And they were like, you don't want to do what we do? Cool, see ya. And they kicked them out of the band. So Godley and Cream went on then.
The early days of popular music and I mean, you know, still the 70s or 80s. I mean, we're 30 years in.
Right.
Really? But I mean, still young. So anyway.
So they go on to continue to make this thing. I just sent you a video. It doesn't matter that no one can see the video or hear it. I just wanted you to be able to see this. They created this item called The Gizmo. And the way that this thing worked was they thought they were good instrumentalists themselves, but they were good enough that they were like, we don't need to bring in studio musicians to do all the studio work for us. And they built this contraption that you put on the end of a guitar and it vibrates the strings like a bow does, but it gives you infinite number of sounds.
It seems to happen on a weekly basis.
You would think that I could turn the volume down.
You'd think so, but it's okay. People get an idea for it. And now the funny part is there was a gentleman about 5 years ago or 6 years ago who was going through and researching old electronic items and trying to improve on them. And he came across the Gizmo. And the reason the Gizmo never took off was because there were problems in the manufacturing process and it was too brittle. It wasn't actually like strong enough to do its job. So this guy went through and reverse engineered the whole thing, patented a bunch of extra technologies. And you can to this day go and buy the Gizmotron 2.0 if you wanted to.
The Gizmotron 2.0, looping with the bass Gizmotron 2.0. That's correct. Interesting. You know, so I'm doing producing on this. I will put a link to this YouTube video.
Here, I'll actually give you I'll toss over to you real quick to Kevin Godley's blog, where he talks about the gizmo and how it came about and everything else. Like, that's really fascinating.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So the other thing that they went on to do is they became very famous for their music videos. Godley and Cream became like the darlings of music video production and doing really innovative things. And in fact, this video won all kinds of accolades because it used a pretty new technology, and there's faces of all these different people fading in and out of each other, and no one had ever done that before in a music video. And it was pretty big. This is one of those ones, and part of the reason I wanted to bring this along was there are a whole smattering of songs that mean something to us because at the time in our life they like hit us, Nobody else has ever heard of them, which is the whole premise of this podcast. I forgot about this until I found out someone has been posting like MTV's top 20 videos from like random dates throughout specific years, including all the commercial breaks. Oh, so it's like sitting down and watching an MTV show from 1985 and watching all the commercial breaks, the whole bit. And this song popped up in the top 10, top 20 countdown at one point. The music video was on the top 20 for MTV in 1985.
So I don't know why, but I have in my mind, Big Girls Don't Cry. Big Girls Don't Cry.
You have that phrase, or you have in your mind like visualizations of big girls not crying?
The phrase, Big Girls Don't Cry. But it sounds more like Big Girls Don't Cry. Big Girls Don't Cry. So, you know that song that we just played a clip of? That's at the end of it. I don't know if you ever. Yeah, it's clear you haven't.
I've never made it all the way through that song in one sitting.
Well, it's funny because I still have it here. Let's. We'll just play it soft since I am doing the. Okay, let's.
Let it ruminate in the background.
Here we go.
Like the smell of funk after a rough date.
Well. So we're going to play it very softly because I know exactly when it comes in the song. And because this StreamYard will not let me skip through the song.
Were you in high school when this song came out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
That's what I was trying to figure out.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't take long when we heard the introduction. I'm like, 10cc, I'm not in love.
Yeah. If it's 80s songs, I'm the same way. I can tell you by like the opening drum lick from a lot of those songs what song it's going to be.
Here we go. Big Girls Don't Cry.
Big boys don't cry. I got it wrong. Now I officially hate that song even more than I did when we started this.
That's awesome. Yeah. First of all, it's not big girls, it's big boys. And I don't know if I've ever heard it loud before. It's be quiet.
Be quiet.
Big boys don't cry. Very funny. Well, this is some of the deep dive stuff you get on this podcast that you won't be able to find anywhere else on the interwebs.
That is true. That is very true.
And actually, I love the fact that you brought this because I love the backstories on how bands, like they get kicked out, really?
Right. Oh, they went on. This was the whole point of that whole story. They went on, those songs that they recorded became a 3-disc triple album, concept album about the dangers of ruining the environment called Consequences.
Is that right?
And the best part about it was they worked on this concept album for like a year and a half and released it right around the time that punk was in its heyday. And all the critics like ate it up because it was like old and crappy concept albums. And this is the end of the 70s because we're now into the punk era. And they got lambasted and their album never sold. They never, like, it was a total failure.
It's just funny how things evolve. And that's, and again, that MTV is doing kind of a throwback to a time where they really were the thing. I mean, I know there's still MTV, but I have not watched it forever.
Phil, the episode that I watched that this was on, they were, it was the night before Live Aid, and they were doing live shots from around the world with all these different like MTV VJs talking about all the, like they were promoting Live Aid as the great, like it was the greatest thing since Woodstock. And it was just fascinating to see how much control and how much power they wielded at the time. And it's funny because if you think about it, this is only 5 years into MTV existing, and yet they still dominated all control of culture in America.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. It kind of made bands you know, that were formed to create music now have to go, wait, we have to act too?
Right.
Because of the videos.
Oh, you know?
And so, and it's a complete paradigm shift because I'm, and I know this to be true, many of the old school musician bands are like, hell no.
Right.
I play music. I'm not going in front of the camera. Like, oh, well, we can drop you from the label if you want. Okay. Well, what do I have to do?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you. This is fantastic. I love this. I am not going to cry because big boys don't cry. But the name of the song, Cry by Godly and Cream. And did you say the album that this was off of?
I don't know which album this was off. I mean, I saw it, but I forgot.
That's all right. Well, it'll be right there in the show notes. And thank you, everyone, as I'm stalling for time while Chris looks up the album. Thank you to everyone for listening today. In theory, we'll have another one next week for you.
The History Mix is, Volume 1 is the name of the album.
The History of?
The History Mix Volume 1.
Wow.
I don't know why. I don't think there was ever a volume two.
I don't know
what the history was.
Volume one of the vast collection catalog. Of volumes. That's catalog. That's right. Chris, do you want to tell people about our website?
Yeah, it's really pretty. It's built on WordPress. I used a custom plugin to make it look nice. And you can find it on the interwebs at the greatest song you never heard podcast.com.
Nope, that's not true. Nope. You speak a falsehood.
Where could they find it, Phil?
TheGreatestSongYouNeverHeard.com.
Ah.
There's no podcast in it. But to your point, P. Hilly is going to start doing a little bit of work and throwing some photos and images in better represent who we are.
Oh,
I think he may have. I think I'm talking about myself in third person now. I think he may have tried that and almost screwed the whole website up, and so he stopped and didn't save or anything. So
thank God for revisions.
Felt very good about getting out of that alive. So, but we have some things in mind, and once everything else in life has run its course, we'll get back onto that. We're also on X Twitter at GSYNH podcast as well as Facebook. So thank you, Chris, for bringing that song. I am not going to go awkward and say touch you, feel you, taste you, or any of that stuff. I'll leave that up to you because you are put a bow on this. Coach Cock, hopefully we've blown your mind and expanded whatever needed to be expanded. And we'll see you next week on the Greatest Song You Never Heard podcast.